The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha Shoftim. In the middle of the Parsha, in Posuk Tes, Perek Yud Ches, Ki ato bo'el ha'oretz asher Hashem elekecho neisein loch leisil malasis kiso aves ha'goyim ahim. You are coming to the land which Hashem is giving to you. Do not learn the abominations of the nations of the peoples of those lands, of that land. Lo yimotzi v'cho mavir b'nei uvitei ba'esh. You shall not practice. There shall not be a found amongst you. And then the Torah lists off a number of practices that were common amongst the nations, the seven nations that lived in Eretz Yisrael at that time. Those that Mavi B'nei Avita Ve'esh, they would pass their sons and daughters, little sons and daughters, through the fire. Kesim Kisomim Ma'einenu Menachesh Mechashef. These are various types of sorceries, witchcraft, of superstitions. Rashi explains some of them. He says, for example, a person who would hold on to a stick, and from the feeling of the stick or the vibrations of the stick, he could tell if it was a good day to go on a journey or not. Or Ma'enin, people that would give specific times for doing specific things in accordance to superstitious rites, that this day is a good day to start such a business, and this day is not a good day. This day is a sign of success, and this is not a sign of success. Or they would allow certain incidental acts to decree for themselves whether what they're undertaking will find good fortune or not. For example, if you're walking along and a deer runs across the road, we have such a superstition with a black cat running crossing your path. Or if you're holding something, bread, and you drop the bread, That's a sign that today is not a good day to do business. Or another practice, they would snake charmers or other different types of animal charmers, or communicating with the dead and so forth. So the Torah tells us these shall not be found amongst you. Kise avas Hashem kol eise eile, ubiglala tehivas eile Hashem elekecho meirish yisom yiponecho. Kodesh Baruch Hu hates these abominations, and it's because of these abominations he has chased the previous nations who presently live in Israel from out of the land. Tomim tiye im Hashem elekecho. But rather you shall go with a complete heart together with Hashem Elokecho. Rashi explains, Yisalach imay bitmimais. Walk with him with a total trust. Utitzap elay. And place your trust and your wishes with him. Leishach kor achar asidus. Do not occupy yourself with what the future beholds for you. Whatever the future will bring, kabel bitmimes, accept it with a fullness of heart. If you're tomim, if you have full trust in the Almighty and you don't go into all of these things, then you will be ima Hashem Elokecho, then you will be his nation and his portion. Then the Torah continues, Ki agoyim eila asher ato yerish esom, because the nations of this land which you are going to chase out, el ma'enanim ve'al kesmim yishmo'u, they listen to the soothsayers, to the sorcerers, to the fortune tellers. Ba'ato, but you, lechem, nosam l'cho Hashem elokecha. Hashem has not given you the portion to listen to all of these magicians. Novi mikir b'cho, me'achecha k'meini. Moshe said he will give you a prophet from amongst your brothers who will be like me. Yokim l'cho Hashem elakecha, elov tishma'un, and you shall listen to him. When you want to know what to do and what not to do, don't go to the fortune tellers and don't go to the charmers. Look into the Torah. That will tell you what to do and what not to do. And if you do not understand the Torah, then go to the Novi, go to the prophet, which I shall give you, which will be like Mesha. Kechol ashesha alto mi'im Hashem elakecho b'cheire b'yem akol le'mor. Then the Torah carries on. You will do in accordance to what you received at Sinai. And this prophet, Nosati Dvorai Befiv, I will place my will in his mouth. And he will tell you what to do. Or if you do not have the prophets, then you go to the wise of Israel. And you ask them not to tell you the fortune, but what does the Torah say? They will tell you what the Torah says. This is the parsha which deals with these types of sorceries and magics and so forth. Now, we have gone into this a number of times in the past. I gave a shiur on this, I believe, 4 or 5 years ago, here on Wednesday night. But because of various requests and, unfortunately, the hour requires it, so I'm going to go into the subject again this evening. Now, we're dealing here with all types of things that fall into this category. We have sorcery, witchcraft, superstitions, palm reading, fortune telling, astrology, crystal ball gazing, soothsaying, predicting the futures, charms, kameas, interpreting dreams, interpreting names, and so forth. All of this falls into this category, and the Chazal refer to all of this as Kishuf Edarke Emori. They give a general title. Kishuf Edarke Emori, sorcery, or the practices of the Emorim, the practices of the nations that occupied Eretz Yisrael before we came to the land. As can be well understood, there are many, many dinim, many laws, and many protim, many details that have to do with the subject. And it's a whole study by itself, which time does not allow us to go into. We will deal rather with merely the Rosh Protim, the major principles. This prohibition, Kishu Vedarke Amori, many times this borders very closely to Avodah Zarah, to idolatry, the worshipping of foreign gods or forces, which we gave a long shiur on last week. Many times, if it doesn't border on that, it can bring a person to such practices. And this is why the Rambam brings these halachos. He has a chapter dealing with these halachos, but the chapter is in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, in his book which deals with idolatry and idolatrous practices. Now, firstly, there is a machlekes, a dispute, bein hakadmonim, amongst our early rishonim, whether these practices are genuine, they're dvorim im shoroshim, they were genuine practices, or if it's nonsense, they're fictitious practices, they're fraudulent, This is a machlekes. The Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph Mehilchas Aved Zorah holds very strongly that all of these practices were fraudulent. They were a nonsense. Let me just quote some of the Rambam. At the end of the Perek Halacha Tes Zayin, he writes, Dvorim Eile Kulan Divrei Sheker Vekozavein. Vekozavein. He says, all of these practices are false and fraudulent. And those who practiced it merely wanted to gain power or wealth or position through it. So they deceived the nations that lived there. Bein roi li Yisrael sheim chachomim mechukomim li moshech bahavelim elu. And therefore it's certainly not befitting for Yisrael. Yisraelim are known as the great chachomim, the people of wisdom, to get tied up in this nonsense. B'loi lahaleis al leiv sheyesh te'eles behen. And not even to think that there's something genuine about it. And this is what is meant when it says ki le nachesh bi Yaakov v'le kesem bi Yisrael. When Bilam saw Yisrael, he says that they're very far from this. He says, if someone believes that these are genuine practices, but still the Torah forbade them, he says, then as sochlim, they are fools, mechasrei adas, and they are people that lack seichel. The Balei Chochma, those who are wise, know that there's really nothing in this. And therefore the Torah said, Tomim Tiyem Hashem Alakecho, that you shall walk upright and with full faith with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the Rambam's opinion in this subject. He makes himself very clear. The Ramban and other Rishonim disagree. The Ramban in his Pirush HaChumash and in the other places, Sefer HaMitzvos, he says no. He says to those who knew, to the Mevinim and the Bekim, to those who were expert in these practices, they were genuine. They had powers. They perhaps could tell fortunes. They perhaps, through astrology, could tell you what's going to be. They perhaps could charm snakes. They could communicate with the dead, and so forth and so on. He says, not all of them. He says, to those who are the masters of it, they definitely have some, they are bona fide. However, the Torah forbade it. The Torah said it's prohibited. Now, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, in Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, "Leicheshin ala nechoshim v'akrabim afilu b'Shabbos." Shabbos, if a person is attacked or being attacked by serpents or by scorpions, then you're allowed to be leichesh. Leichesh means to pronounce certain verses which will either charm the snakes or charm the snake bites. So Boris says you're allowed to do this even on Shabbos. And even though it's not allowed, but because it's a sakona, a danger, so the sakona, the danger of life, permits you to do so. So it's interesting. Rashi says, what does it mean? He says you're allowed to charm the snakes or the scorpions, if you know how. I'm talking about someone that evidently can do this. If you know how, in order that you shouldn't be bitten by them. And even though this is seido, you're capturing wild animals, which is a malocha, which you're not allowed to on Shabbos. Here it's permissible because it's to save your life or to save someone else's life. Therefore, you're allowed to. But it's darki emeri. It's this type of forbidden practice. But since it's danger of life or death, so therefore, the danger takes precedence. The Rambam learns differently in the Gemara. See, he brings in this parak. He says it's speaking not before they attacked someone, it's speaking after they attacked someone, and after they bit someone. And you call in someone who claims that he's an expert on snake bites, not a doctor, but one of these people. And you can allow him to pronounce and go through his practice there. He says, even though it's aimed by mamish, it's not going to do anything. But it'll settle the nerves of the one who's bitten. And this itself is atzolus nefoshes. This itself can help save the person's life. Because otherwise the person will be titrev daite, he'll go into a stage of panic, and that itself will bring danger to him. So if there's not a doctor on hand, so call in one of these guys. And even though you're transgressing this prohibition, he says it's allowed to because it's a sakonis nefoshes, it's a danger of life and death. See, that's how each of them learn that piece of Gemara. The Mechaber, Beis Yosef in the Shulchan Aruch, he follows in the footsteps of the Rambam. He brings this halacha in Yoredeya Simen Kuf Ein Tes Sivov. There, the Gro, the Vilna Gaon, Zichrei Baruch, goes on a great elaboration on the subject, on this issue that we're discussing. Is it bona fide or not? Is it genuine or not? And his opinion is like the Ramban and the others. He says it's genuine to those who knew it. Now, nobody's foolish enough to say it's genuine to everyone who practices it, but to those who knew it, it's genuine. And he brings many, many proofs. One proof he cites is the Gemara in Chulin Daf Zayin that says, Loma Nikra Shmo Kshofim. Why was sorcery called the word Kshofim, Kishuf? She demachishin pamalya shel malo. The word Kshofim comes from, the Gemara says, a group of words put together. It comes from the group of words machishin pamalya shel malo. Because it goes against and deters and resists the order of the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created. Machishin pamal yishal malo. That's why it's called kishuf. Now, if it would just be nonsense, it's not going against, it's not resisting, it's not doing anything to the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. So we see milsi here, we see it is something. Brings many, many proofs. It's a very long grow. But another interesting proof he brings is from the episodes with Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe and the servants of Parai. When Moshe came and he threw down his staff to the servants of Parai, and it became a serpent. But this was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do. So that's no problem. But then the Torah tells us, Vayashlichu ish mateo v'yiletaninim, that they said, they laughed, and they said, well, you're bringing kishuf, you're bringing sorcery to Egypt. Well, Egypt was the capital of sorcery. And they all did the same thing. Question is, how did they do the same thing? That wasn't the Eis Hashem from Hashem. So his opinion is, like the Ramban, that it's a genuine force to those who know what they're doing. But nevertheless, the Torah forbade it. Now, according to both of these opinions, we have what to learn. First of all, that according to the Rambam, it's foolishness, it's nonsense. Nevertheless, the Torah forbade it. Even the practice of such a fictitious exercise in the name that it's going to do something
that this is what the Torah categorizes as to'eva, darkei amorim, and the Torah forbade it. According to the Ramban, we see the opposite. That even though it's a bona fide and it's a genuine exercise, nevertheless the Torah forbade it. Now this is very important, because you have many times people will come and they'll say, look at that, look, I read, or I heard, or I hear this person, he makes wonders, he's a wonder maker. So you tell him, move on, forget about it. He says, but it's true. So you tell them, no, it's a fake, it's phony. But they've proven it. So what? The Ramban is telling you before, you don't have to look for proofs. It can be done. This is what the Gaon and the Ramban and the others are saying. It can be done. There were certain masters of these arts, and they could do it. So what? So therefore what? Therefore it becomes permissible. That's why the Torah forbade it. So therefore, when someone comes to you and say, but it's true, they're making wonders, it's been proven, you don't have to have them to prove it. It was done and it can be done. But still the Torah says it's a te'eva, the Kodesh Baruch Hu said. It's an abomination. And it borders it with idolatry. You don't have anything to do with it. A similar halacha we had in last week's parsha, that if a novi, a prophet arises amongst you, and he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told me to tell you to do such and such a thing, and if it's against the Torah, it's to come to eradicate a mitzvah of the Torah, so you don't believe him. Then the Torah says, what happens if he shows a wonder in order to influence us to believe him, and we investigate the wonder and we say, but it is a wonder, and the Torah says you still don't believe him. And the Rashi brings, it's a wonder and it could be a real wonder, so therefore what? You still do not believe him. Not only you don't believe him, but you put him to death, because he is coming to prophesy against HaKadosh Baruch Hu and against the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, the argument, see, but it's true, that has nothing to do with the discussion. This is what we see from the Ramban. A second point that we see from the Ramban, from all of them, that even the Ramban and those that agree with him, that it can be a real practice, a genuine practice, they agree to the Rambam that not everyone that practices it is genuine. They said it can be a genuine practice to those who know what they're doing. It's an art. And to the masters of this art, they said it was genuine. But this does not mean that everything that is practiced in this name is genuine at all. Especially in our time. In our time, when this art, especially to the West, had been lost for centuries. Now, we'll go to another point. How do we categorize? What is Darkei Amorim? Something that falls into this heading and something that doesn't fall into this heading. People many times want to know, what's the difference? Why is the difference in electricity? Electricity also is a wonder. Computers, spaceships, all types of wonders. So why is that any difference? This is a science and that's a science. Or the Torah itself tells us all kinds of things. Torah itself tells us there are good times to do things, there are not good times to do things. For example, Elul, the month that we started today, Torah tells us, Ayyamei Rotson, it's days when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will listen to your tefillahs. because Moshe Rabbeinu stood on the Har Sinai at that time, and that was the last 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul to Yom Kippur. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to him. Then they tell us, but the days of Tammuz were of Yomim Sheinos Rotzon. These are days when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is far from the people. Tells us Av is not a good month. If you have a litigation with a non-Jew, try to stall it till after Av. It's not a good month. Mora says Megalgalin Chayv Lizman Chayv Megalgalin Shchus Leman to a Zman that has Shchus. We know that there are certain times in the year that are more Kodesh than others. Shabbos, Yontif, we know Tishrei is a good month. The same thing in Kedushas HaMokom, we know there's different places. Eretz Yisrael is more Kedusha than other lands. Yerushalayim is more Kedusha. The Gemara tells us Shechem, even though it's in Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara brings, was a Mokom Buchel Neparanias. Bad things happened there. Gemara brings several instances. And there are many such practices that the Torah tells us. So how do we sort this out? Concisely, it's not so difficult to sort it out. The study of the Teva, or Inyone Olam Hazeh, the study of this world, of the physical world, for example, natural sciences, business and commerce, arts and culture, and everything that's related to these studies. This is what our sages refer to as Chochmas Eilam Hazeh, the wisdoms of this world. They also refer to it as Chochmas Agashmi, the wisdoms of the physical world, because this is the physical world. That and everything related to it is a permissible science. Physical world was given to us, and everything that's related to understanding the physical world was also given to us. And therefore, this is a type of wisdom that is permissible. And therefore, we study science, we study mathematics, we study electronics, or we study business and commerce. The world depends on trade. Or we'll study manufacturing. Or we'll study the arts or the cultures. This is Chochmas Eilam Hazeh, the wisdoms of this world. That's not what we're referring to. Now, we have a second category. The second category is when we're speaking of something which is Bilti Gashmi and Bilti Tivi, something which is not part of the natural physical world, but it is beyond the physical world. If this you could call, this in English we would refer to as spiritual. English refers to it as that, not necessarily the sages, but this is what the English label we would give it. If this was given to us from the Torah, from Moshe Rabbeinu, then it's Bechlal Torah, then it's included in Torah. So therefore, any wisdom or practice that was given to us, that's Bilti Gashmi, that is beyond the physical principles of the world. They are spiritual principles. If it came to us through the Torah, through Moshe Rabbeinu, and through the other Nevi'im, through the other prophets, or through the Torah Shebal Peh that we have, then that's all classified, that's all inclusive in Torah. And that was given to Israel. any practices which are spiritual, which are bilti gashmi, which are separated from the physical forces of the world, the physical forces of the world, that were not given to us through the Torah, then this is classified as the Deidake Amori. This is what we are referring to. And in English also, these are referred to as spiritual practices or supernatural. Science, commerce, arts and culture, that's the natural forces. What we're speaking about here are not natural forces. They are supernatural forces. They do not go with the laws of nature at all. Laws of nature, nature has very, very definite rules, will dictate certain things. You create friction, you'll create heat. You create heat, you can cause an explosion. See? But if a stick falls, it means it'll be a successful day. It has nothing to do with the laws of nature. These are not nature's gvul parameters. So this is supernatural or spiritual. If it did not come to us through the Torah, then these are the practices of the other nations. And the Torah forbade us to have anything to do with it. And not only that, but even refer to it as to'eva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates it. It's an abomination. And they're called tuma, impurities. And the Sforim write that in Parshas Chayei Sora, at the end of Chayei Sora, Avraham Avinu, Vayiten Avraham is called Ashalei L'Yitzchok. This is in Bereishis Chofei Posukei. Avraham gave everything that he had to Yitzchok, his son. Ulivnei Apilakshim Ashele Avraham, and then to the children of the Pilakshim, to the other children he had from the other wives, Nosen Avraham Matones. He gave Matones, he gave gifts. Shalchem Al Yitzchok Benei Kedmo, and he sent him to the Far East. He sent them to the Far East, Al Eretz Kedem. Rashi brings, what were the Matonis? So, one interpretation of the Matonis, Rashi says, Pirish Rabbeinu Shem Tuma Mos Alehem. He gave them Shem Tuma, the practices of impurities. So, in the Sforim, it's written that he could have given them these arts. And they took them to the Far East with them. And that could be why traditionally we have found the practice of these arts more prevalent in the Far East than in the West. Now, now we can understand a little better the associations of the various psukim, of the various texts that we read here in the Sedra. First, the Torah tells us that do not engage yourself in all of these practices, because these are the practices of the people that live on the land before you came. But Tomim Tiyem Hashem Elokecho, you stay with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, place your trust in Him. Ki Agoyim Ha'ilo Ashata Yerishishon, because these nations that you are going to chase out of Israel, they listen to these practices. Al ma'onin v'al kes mi mishmau. They have to come unto these people. V'ator leichei nosin l'cho Hashem l'kecho. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He didn't tell you to come unto these people. The Ramban explains, He's giving you something better. Novi mikir b'chol mi'achecho k'meini yokim l'cho Hashem l'kecho. Why do you have to go for your answers to the fortune tellers? That's a very madrega ktano, that's a very low science, contrary to popular belief. I am giving you a far greater wisdom. I'm giving you the Torah. All of your problems can be solved by Torah. You don't have to go to the fortune tellers and to the charmers. didn't put you in a situation where you have to come unto these people. But Novi Mikir Bechomi Achecho, I will give you a prophet, just like Meshe Rabbeinu. And Elov Tishma'u. And listen to him for your answers. And so forth and so on. And this is how the Ramban explains. And the Ramban says, he says, these practices, he says, is a very low level of wisdom. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Klal Yisrael the highest level of wisdom. L'sitcha elyon al kol goyei ha'aretz. He made you higher than all of the nations of the world, because you will have a Torah and a prophet to go to, and your sages. So therefore you don't have to, in order to forecast futures, you don't have to go to all of these charmers or the stargazers, he says. He says that's for the rest of the nation. But you will know from the Torah. We have a pretty good idea of what's going on in the world when we find the answers in the Torah. Then he writes, he says, Tomim tiyeh Hashem Elokecha, place your trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he's above everyone else. And even if someone will tell you something, that according to your stars or according to your names or whatever it might be, such and such a thing is supposed to befall upon you, he says, now, Tomim tiyeh Hashem Elokecha, Hakol bidei shamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a higher level than them. Ki hu elekei elekim. Those forces are forces. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the force above all forces. Elyein al hakol. Hakol yochai. And he can change whatever stars he wants, and he can change whatever forces he wants, and fortunes. And therefore, you believe in him. And Tomim Tiyeh Hashem Elokecha, then you will not have to be afraid of anything that any of the others will say. Now, the Maral adds to this. He brings up a very good point. Historically, all of these types of practices, where do we usually find them? They're usually associated with the uneducated populace. If we look historically, when was there practices of witchcraft, superstitions, amongst the country folk, amongst the simple folk, amongst the uneducated and the illiterate masses, amongst the peasants? The intellectuals and the sophisticated elements of society, you didn't find that much. So you ask the question, why? Why? Especially, right, if you say, like the Rambam, that the whole business is a fraud, then we can understand. But if you say, like the Rambam, that it's genuine by those who knew what they were doing, so then it's really an art. So why do we always find it amongst, he calls them the Halushe Seichel. That's how the Rambam also refers to it, the Halushe Seichel, or the Chasure Das, those who lack a little up there. They're a little weak up on top. He says, why do we find it? That's what Halushe Seichel means. Why do we find it amongst these type of people? And he says something very important, and this is very important for our generation. See, unfortunately, we're finding this creeping in again in our generation. And tragically, we're finding even in the Machne Torah, even in the camps of Torah. And I was astounded a few years ago when I found out that it's becoming common practices in many places in Eretz Yisrael. And I was even more astounded today when someone told me that it's still a common practice in many places. Now, it's important, therefore, very important to understand what the Maharal is saying. He says that this is not to be classified as a chokhmah at all. He has always what he calls chokhmah se'elyon, the wisdom of the higher worlds, Torah. Then he has what he calls chokhmah se'elamazeh, the wisdom of this world, like we explained. Or then he has what he refers to as chokhmah se'tachteino, derech eretz. Those are wisdoms. Those are great wisdoms. Because I'll say, if someone tells you, in chokhmah bagoyim is their wisdoms by the nation, tamin, believe them. These are wisdoms. But he says this is not to be classified as a wisdom at all. Not even a chokhmah ketano, not even a lower wisdom. Why? He says the principle of wisdom is lilmeid lehovin, to study in order to understand. Torah, therefore, is a wisdom. Not only a wisdom, is the greatest wisdom. Ki hi chokhmaschem ubinaschem bein hagoyim. This is the greatest wisdom which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given to you amongst all of the nations. And we gave a shiur recently on Shabbos and the Birchas Hamazon and Benishin. And in the second bracha, it's in Leidei Lecho, we make a bracha on the Torah. We mentioned Torah, so we mentioned Al Teiroscha Shlimaratonu V'chukecha Sheiratonu, on the Torah which you have taught us, and the chukim, the statutes which you have made known to us. So the Maral asks, why do we divide it in two sections, Torah and statutes, and Shlimaratonu, that you have taught us, and statutes which you have made known to us? He says, because in Torah there's that what we can understand, and then there's that what we cannot understand. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which is the greatest mitzvah, Talmud Torah keneged kulam, that's to study Torah to understand. If a person studies Torah and he doesn't understand, he doesn't try to understand, he merely sits by a Gemara and reads it, or he reads a Mishnah, then he's not mekayem the mitzvah, he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah. Lasek b'divrei Torah, limud Torah, which means to understand. That's why Torah needs amelus. That's why it states ameli mitorah, you have to labor, because to understand, just to read, you don't have to labor, but to understand, the brech in the kip, you have to labor. Now, all of the mitzvahs which are neat and lohovin, that we can understand, now that we have to understand, otherwise not studying Torah. Therefore it states Al Teirosko Shlim Maritonu, the Torah which you have taught us. But there's parts in the Torah which we cannot understand. For example, the Chukim, the statutes. So there we have to say Al Chukecha Shedatonu. That's not the Torah that you have taught us. That's the Torah that you have made known to us, but not taught us, because that we never learned. Right, that we also have to do. But even in the chukim, he writes in another place, even in the statutes, we still have to labor, because there's a great deal of the statutes that we can understand, but totally we'll never understand it. But we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that at least he made it known to us. Therefore, Torah is lilmeid ulehovin, to study and to understand. And therefore, it's a great wisdom. Not only is it a great wisdom, the Gemara says, what kind of bracha do you make when you see a sage in Israel? You make a bracha, Baruch Shecholak Mechochmose Lireov. Blessed is he who gave from his wisdom to a human being. Not only is it a wisdom, not only is it a great wisdom, it's Chochmas Hashem, it's the wisdom of the Almighty himself, Shecholak Mechochmose, that gave from his wisdom to a human being. The wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So it's the greatest wisdom. But when we come to sciences and art and everything else, they're also great wisdoms. They're not as great as Torah, but they're great wisdoms. But when we come to these practices of sorcery and superstition, He says nobody understands them. Even the one who's a master on how to practice it, he doesn't understand what's happening. He knows there's a formula. You say this and this, and such a thing will happen. Why? He doesn't know. It confounds human intellect. This is just the opposite of the scientist. All of science is to try to find out the relationship between the cause and the effect. Why, when this happens, then that happens. While here, in these sciences, he says you can't classify them as a science, as a wisdom, because there is no understanding in it. We know, or those people that know the practice, or that knew the practice, they knew they had to do such and such a thing, and such a thing would happen. Why? Don't ask us. We don't know. He says that's not a wisdom. That is merely robotic. That's a robot. That's a golem. With this, he explains beautifully a Gemara in Masechta Seita. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Seita, Daf Chof Beis Amud Aleph, he says, one says, Kora v'shona v'leishim ish tamid hachomim. If a Jew, he learns Chumash Teresh B'Ksav, and he learns Mishnah, but he didn't go to sit by the feet of the Chachomim. In other words, he never went to a Rebbe, but he never learned Gemara. So he knows the Chumash and he knows the Mishnah, which tells us what, but does not tell us why. It's learning by the Rebbe. The whole learning of the Gemara tells us the why. So the Gemara says, this person, what kind of person is he? So there's four descriptions of this person. The Blessed Eimar is Amoritz. Blessed says he's an Amoritz, an ignorant person. Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Eimar Bur, Hareze Bur. He's a Bur. A Bur means an empty person. Reb Yane Eimar is Kusi. He's a Kusi. And Reb Achav Yaakov Eimar Hareze Amagusi. He's Amagusi. Now, all of these descriptions are descriptions of someone who's ignorant. They're describing here the opposite of wisdom. Rashi explains, Amoritz, we know what that is. Amoritz is a person who lacks wisdom in the Torah. A boor comes from the word leisevor, comes from the word empty. When you leave a field empty, it's called sode boor. He's empty. So that's how he's described. That's the second opinion. Because he knows the Chumash and he knows the Mishnah, but he doesn't have a clue as to why or what or when. The reasons. The structure. The third opinion is a Kusi. Now, who were the Kusi? The Kusim were a group, a nation of people that came to cleave to Israel. They converted and became part of Israel. They said they were going to accept the entire Torah, but as it turned out, they didn't. They accepted a great deal of the Torah, and they rejected a great deal of the Torah. What did they accept and what did they reject? To that which looked good to them, they accepted. To that which did not look good to them, they rejected. So the Maral explains, they lacked wisdom. This is why they couldn't accept the whole Torah. Because their wisdom was shallow, they only accepted that which looked good to them. See, sometimes you come to someone who is shallow, and he says, yeah, I like this. This is good. This I like. See, he does this mitzvah. But the other mitzvah I don't like. He's shallow. This was the Kusim. It's interesting, the Maral says, because there's a Gemara. The Gemara consistently says that there were certain mitzvahs called mitzvahs shehikzika by kusi, hikzika by yeseh harbe yeseh Yisrael. There were certain mitzvahs, the Gemara says, that you can trust them on. If we needed to know something, It says generally you couldn't trust them because they didn't keep all the mitzvahs. But on certain mitzvahs you could trust them. If it was a mitzvah that they practiced. Because mitzvahs that they practiced even with greater zealousness than Yisrael. This is what the Gemara says. Whole mitzvah she exika by kusi, exika by harbe mi Yisrael. Now the question is why? She says, very good. He says, because it wasn't a wisdom to them. It was a fanaticism to them. Wisdom decrees that sometimes it must be done this way, sometimes it must be done another way. You have to look at the situation. Wisdom decrees that you're not a robot, you're not a golem. You have to look at the situation, you have to look at the circumstances, and sometimes it's done this way and sometimes it's done that way. That's why if you'll ask a shaila to a rov, first thing you'll ask is, let me hear the circumstances. What are the circumstances? Someone who's weak in seichel will say, how come the rov said by you it's kosher, by me it said, he said it's osur? Because of different circumstances, that's why. You go into a court of law, the same thing. The judge is going to want to know, let's hear the whole case, let's hear the circumstances. But that's chokhmah, that's wisdom. But these were not wisdom, they were not bale chokhmah. And therefore they grabbed onto the Torah, not from the aspect of chokhmah. And that's why a mitzvah they liked, oh, that they would do come rain or flood, that they would do. Therefore the Gemara says, don't worry, if they said that they did that, you can trust them. So therefore someone who learns Mishnah and Chumash but he doesn't know reasons, Harei Zekusi. So one of the rabbis in the Gemara says this is the same as Zekusi. Then Rav Acha bar Yaakov comes along and he says, Harei Ze Amagushi. No, he's a Magushi. What is a Magushi? So Rashi explains, a Magushi is a Mechashev, a sorcerer. And the Gemara concludes, Omar of Nosen by Yitzchok, Mistavra Kirablezer ben Yaakov. The last opinion is the best, that he's a Magushi. The Amri Inish Rotin Magushi Velayoda Mayomar, because the sorcerer babbles. He talks, he utters, he says all types of strange words, and he does all types of strange things. And not only other people don't understand what he's saying or doing, he himself doesn't understand what he's saying or doing. That's what the Amagushi is. So this one also, Toni Tan of Leoda, my Toni, this one says over the Mishnah, he says over the Chumash, and he doesn't have a clue as to what he's saying. So therefore, and Rashi says, that's what the Gemara says, therefore he's a Magushi. And Rashi says, Amachashev Eslechashov, Ve'ena Mevin Mahim Uma Perushim. The sorcerer that says over his abacadabras, he doesn't understand what he's saying, and he doesn't understand what it means. Kach Ma'aseyam, but he only knows, Kach Ma'aseyam Shemachshefus Bo Al Yedei Esim Lachoshim. He knows, he was trained, that by saying such things and doing such things, there'll be such effects. Avzer, so the same thing with a person who has learned Chumash and Mishnah, but never learned Gemara or never learned by a Rebbe, is Shaina Mishnase Ven Yedei Mahu. That's what Rashi says. He says over his Mishnah, but like a robot. And that's not Torah. See, that's Magushi, but not Torah. This is what the Gemara says, and this is how the Maral explains it now. Because Torah is wisdom. It's Chochmah. It's not that. It's Chochmah Elyona, the greatest. Chochmah Hashem. Therefore, the Maral says, this is why you always found that the superstitions were always most popular amongst those who lacked a strong intellect. Because it's the contrary, the antithesis to a wisdom. Then he says another very important point. Also something we have to take cognizant of. He says Torah is temidus. Torah is always. And actually Torah is the soul of this world, because it states HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah, and from the Torah he used it as a master plan to create the world. So therefore he says it's impossible there should be a conflict between the physical world and Torah, because the physical world was the outgrowth of the plan of the Torah. So it's impossible there should be a conflict. Therefore the Torah is the plan of how the world should carry on in a continual manner. And therefore Torah is to me this, like we find mitzvahs, they weren't given for a month, they were given forever. Weren't given for a year, they were given forever, because Torah is the master plan of the continual operation of this world. Now something that was given to be only temporary or to change the physical world, what we would call a shinui, something that comes to change, he says that is a far lower level than Torah, because Torah is the master plan on how the world should operate and carry on continually and all of the time. Therefore something that comes to change this or to stop it, or is given only l'shor, only just for the temporary state, he says that's a far lower level. And that's what kishuf is, that's what the sorcery is. The sorcery comes to change the practices of the world, and this is a far lower level than Torah. He explains, he says, it states that all of the prophets, when they prophesied, they said Ko Amar Hashem. When Moshe prophesied, he said Zeh HaDover. Moshe would prophesy, he would say Zeh HaDover, which means he saw it very clearly. The other prophets would only say Ko Amar Hashem. Ko is more of a vague description. See, thus the Almighty said. But even Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe came to prophesy the Makis Becheres, the smiting of the firstborn, he said, Ko Amar Hashem, Bechatzei Salaylo. Thus said Hashem at midnight. Why? He says, because the smiting of the firstborn, contrary to popular belief, was a much lower level than the mitzvahs that were given in the Torah. Because the mitzvahs that were given in the Torah are for the continual practice of life, while the smiting of the firstborn was a change, an interruption in the continual practice of the world. And that's a much lower level. And therefore, Moshe, when he prophesied this, he did not say, Zeh HaDover, this, but he said, Ko Amar Hashem. Now, it's because of this you'll always find those that lack intelligence, they're more attracted to a deviation from the norm than from the norm itself, than to the norm itself. I'll give you an example. If you had a bird all of a sudden that doesn't fly, so they're going to come, a child or a person who is not too intelligent, and you'll say, why doesn't that bird fly? If you have an animal that can't walk, why doesn't that animal walk? If you have the ocean, you read in the paper, the ocean, a tidal waves came and heaven forbid flooded the land. Why did that phenomena happen? The sun stopped shining, an eclipse. They run to see it. Why did that phenomenon happen? Well, this is a lack of intelligence. Why? Because why doesn't he? Why he should be interested? Wisdom decrees you should be interested in something else, not why doesn't this bird fly. Wisdom decrees you should be puzzled. Why can any bird fly? And that's what the scientist is interested in.
doesn't bother him that much why one bird can't fly. He's more interested in trying to figure out the norm that a bird can fly. It's these scientists that from there created aeronautics, created spaceships, not from the fact that one species of birds could fly. Wisdom decrees that you should be more interested in why animals can walk or run, not why this species cannot. And that's what the biologist and the zoologist is interested in. Wisdom decrees that the phenomenon is not that there was a tidal wave in Japan last month. The phenomenon is why do the oceans not flood every day? What's stopping them every day? That's what the oceanographer studies. The tides, the currents, and so forth. And the astronomer is more concerned in why the solar system works in perfect order. And every day, at a calculated, predestined time, the sun rises and the sun sets. Rather than the deviation of the norm, he'll tell you the norm is a far greater wisdom than the deviation. Yet why do we see that the deviation, that's what makes news? The answer is because newspapers sell to people who are interested in deviations. The scientists don't read these newspapers. They read the scientific journals. The medical men don't read these newspapers. Unfortunately, it's the idiots that read these newspapers, and this is what they're going to buy. The idiots are not going to buy the medical journals or the scientific journals or the zoological journals, see, because that's too difficult to read. But this is something very important for us, because unfortunately you find even amongst yeshiva bochrim, they'll say, oh, look at that, or this or that. It is the norm, and this is why that in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, the Maral writes that where the four sons ask questions. So when it comes to the Tam, when it comes to the one that has no seichel, so he asks, Mazesh, what is this? And that's a posuk in the Torah. And where is that posuk written? It's written by the Arifus Peter Hamor. There's a mitzvah that you have to give your firstborn animal to a kohen, of a kosher animal, of a donkey. You have to take the firstborn and redeem it with a sheep or another animal, and you give it to the kohen. What happens if you don't? So the mitzvah is you must break the neck of the donkey. Right there it states, when your son will ask you, Mazesh, what is this? What are you doing? And there the Chazal say that's the question of the son who is a Tam, who is a little weak up there. Now, how did they know that? Because in the whole, all of the mitzvahs, he never asked the question. This is what he asked. When he sees a change, when he sees all of a sudden you're taking and you're breaking a neck of a donkey, what is this? Well, then we know this is the question of the unintelligent. The Chochom, where's his question written in the Torah? His question is written in the Torah not by a particular mitzvah, but when the Torah is speaking of all of the mitzvahs, and he asks, Moha Chukim, Moha Edis, Moha Chukim, Moha Mishpotim, Asher Tziva Hashem. What are the reasons of the mishpatim, of the laws? What are the reasons of all the testimonies in the Torah? What are the reasons of all the chukim? He doesn't wait for the sun to stop in midday to ask why. He asks every day the sun rises and sets. Why? He asks in all of the mitzvahs. And that's how the Chazal knew he was wise. So this is something we can test ourselves with. If we're more interested in the phenomena, if in the single change, or in the everyday goings-ons, we can calculate our level of wisdom. Now, the kishuf, sorcery, and all of these superstitions, these are all to change the physical laws of nature. Like we said, science is just studying and interpreting the laws of nature. But these practices change the laws of nature. They tell you things that physically, through physical forces, should not have make any sense, and yet they're telling you that this is what's going to happen because of this and because of that. So therefore this is a deviation from the norm. Therefore the Maral says it's a madrega pkusa. It's a very, very low level compared even to the wisdom of the world, and certainly compared to the wisdom of the Torah, which is the Chochmas Hashem, with the wisdom of Hashem himself. And even HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he writes, that brought miracles to the world, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings them reluctantly to the world, and he only brings it letzorech shor, he only brings it temporarily and only when necessary. Otherwise he's much more interested in the miracle of the norm than in the miracle of the deviation. So this is a little background into understanding what this is that we're discussing. Now, what were the practices amongst the last generations in this? The Gedalei Litta, when it came to the Lithuanian customs or practices in regards to this, I can tell you that they paid little heed or attention to this whole business. They had little interest in it. I once told over the story that I was once in a Rebbe came here from America, and he was staying by a certain person over Shabbos. I was davening in the shul, and they announced that Friday night everyone is invited over because he'll preside over the Shabbos table. So someone came, Ramesha Finkel was there. Moshe Pinkel is the one of the Rosh Yeshivas from Yir Yeshiva. He was in town, grandson from Blazer Yudel Finkel. So they asked him, they told him he must come. He says, no, I'm not coming. So they said, but they say on him, he's a Baal Nefes, he can do wonders. So he answered, he says, if I'm there tonight, then he is a real Baal Nefes. He is a real wonder maker. And tells, I can't remember ever a discussion on it from the Rosh Yeshivas. I can never remember a discussion about all of these wonders or practices. They ignored the entire subject. I can never remember a discussion. They say that the Gro, the Vilna Gaon, used to make all kind of wonders. I can never remember a discussion on it. Mentioned. I can never remember a mention of the Maral's Golem. They asked the question that the Maral in all of his forum, he doesn't mention the Golem. Some even think because of that, maybe it's not true. The Golem was a deviation. It was a deviation to the norm. All of the forum of the Maral is to understand the norm. He held the Golem as a Madrega Pusa, is a very, very low level compared to his writings in this forum. But this was totally rejected, and if they would ever see a bocher would have a little tendency towards this, they would hold him Nebuch. He's a little weak mentality. This is how they would look at him. This was the same attitude when it came to the Chochmas HaKabbalah VaNishtar. Now, that's not related to what we're saying at all. But unfortunately, today people relate it and they put it all in one kugel. When it came to what's called the Chochmas HaNishtar, popularly it's referred to as the Kabbalah. In all my years and tales, they never spoke of practices of the Kabbalah, and they never taught Kabbalah. The little Kabbalah that would creep into a halacha, all right. If it would be brought in some of the major sporim, okay, but otherwise not. I don't even know if there was anyone that studied the Kabbalah there. And if he did it b'chadrei chadorim. He did it totally low profile, where no one knew about it, and certainly nobody ever saw any practices of Kabbalah. And that was just for the opposite reason. Because they held Torah was so great and so deep. And the Kabbalah is the deepest area of Torah. That they held it something that's very, very much beyond them. We have a great deal to learn before them. Or if someone, like I said, did learn it, it was done very, very low profile and quietly. The fact is, on a number of occasions, I spoke with Rav Gifter on certain questions, on certain shilas, and I would tell him that it's brought, or they bring, that this you should do or you shouldn't do, because this is what states in the Kabbalah. And he would shoot back at me, is only Esekim an Nistoris, Echom Nitkin Shaychus mit Nistoris. I'm not interested in the Nistor. And this is an expression that was used even by the Kadmainim. To quote one, the Chassam Sefer. Now, the Chassam Sefer was a Boki Bechala Tera Kula. The Chassam Sefer lived in the time of the Vilna Gaon of Kevegar and said Tzeisachation. And he was held in his area, he was held in Gorla Dor. So you can see what he knew. And yet, in his own Shailas and Shuvas, he writes many times. The fact is, they wanted, well, this was said over, but now, in his own Shailas and Shuvas, he writes, in one case, they criticized, he was the Rav in Pressburg. In Pressburg, the Jews went, the Jews were very fine Jews, but they went very modern. They went modern, modern clothing. They didn't have beards, they used to wear mustaches. These were the Pressburg Jews, Oberland. And there were a number of contemporaries that criticized the Chassam Sefer, the way his followings went, his followers went. So he wrote to them, he says, are they doing something osur? Are they transgressing some mitzvahs? He says, I don't know of any mitzvahs that they're transgressing. And they tried to bring certain sources, and he very easily was able to reject it. He says, I don't know any mitzvahs they're rejecting, that you can write to me that they're doing something osur. So finally one writes him, he says, all right, he says, in the Nigla they're not doing anything else, in the Revealed Torah they're not, but there's many sources in the Kabbalah that they're transgressing. So he writes, he says, with all due respect, only Esekim an Nistoris. He says, don't bring Nistor to me. He says, I have nothing to do with it. And this was because they realized just how deep it was, and therefore they did not want to Paskin halochos in accordance to that. The Chofetz Chaim Zecher Tzadik Levrocha, that the Chofetz Chaim, I can tell you, was a boki. He was a boki in the Kabbalah. He was a boki in the Zayir. Whenever he brings Zayir, he brings it right and left and center. He, his son writes on him. Son writes on him. That this is why he's writing on him. He says he was a very, very down to earth person. He gives a few examples. He says, Ashkofosa is sitlis bihiro belay mysticism. Vishtalvus al sulamin. He says his Ashkofa was very simple, very straight, without any mystics, and without climbing ladders into the heavens. Belay emunais tiflis, without bringing in any foreign influences or beliefs. He says, Vesaprim, there's the story that one time a group of Jews brought to the Chofetz Chaim, they came panic stricken to him. They brought a maidservant to him. And the maidservant was crowing like a rooster, and all kind of strange noises that were coming from her. And they said, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and they started to cry and weep. And they said, come and save us, Itzilonu nichnas bo beriva divuk, Rachman al-Litzlan. They said that the divuk, a devil or some type of angel or something, or whatever it is, some type of foreign soul, has gone into her. Come, help us, save us. And they were stricken. The Chofetz Chaim, he comforted them, he consoled them, Diber Alibom, he spoke to them nicely, but he says, it's not a dibuk. He says, take her to a doctor. And they, the doctor, will tell you what's wrong with her. And the doctor will be the shliach for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give her a refuah shleima. And he writes, this was his approach all of the time. Brings another interesting story. This he brings, the Einikel, the grandson of the Chofetz Chaim, writes. He says, I was sitting in the Beis HaMedrash helping the Chofetz Chaim. I used to help him with his Sforim. He used to write Sforim, the Chofetz Chaim. He wrote hundreds of Sforim. So he says, I was going over the... I was writing them over it for the printing of it. And I was working at it in the Beis HaMedrash, and the Chofetz Chaim was in another room. And comes in a Jew, a Hasidish Jew. Incidentally, the Chofetz Chaim was accepted by all. The gift they used to say on him, the Chofetz Chaim in his time was like Rashi in his time. Duke Gang and Alagrenitsyn. He went through all borders. He said the Chofetz Chaim was accepted by Misnagdim, by Hasidim, by everyone. A Chosid came in, and he came over to, he writes on himself to me, and he asks me, what am I doing? And he sees I'm writing over Sforim for the Chofetz Chaim. So he says, who am I? So I tell him that I'm an Einikel, I'm a grandson of the Chofetz Chaim. So he says, when this Jew heard this, his face lit up, and he said, Ashrei Chelkecho, how fortunate you are, he says, to be the Einikel, the grandson of the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim heard this. So he came out and he said, Rabid, he says, fellow Jew, I want to tell you something. He says, for everyone there'll be a day of Mishpat, there'll be a day of judgment. And when the person comes upstairs and there's a day of judgment, it states that the first two questions they asked you is Kovati Itim L'Teira, did you set aside time for learning Torah? And Nosam V'Nosam B'Amunah, and did you do business faithfully and with trust? He says, if you can answer yes on those two questions, Glicklich, then as Ashrecho, you're very fortunate. If you cannot answer on those two questions, there'll be no further questions, he says. There'll be no further questions. Nobody's going to ask you, who are you an Einikel of? And nobody's going to ask you if you're a Chosid or a Misnagid. This is what he told them. So this was the Chofetz Chaim's approach. Then the hour is getting late, but I just want to quickly, there was a sefer which came out a few years ago called Tomim Tia, written by Rabbi Yaakov Meshe Hillel. He should be blessed, this person. He wrote it because of the current situation. And he writes here, he says, the obligation of being tomim be'amunas habeiri yisporach, that you should believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and place your trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and in the prophets. Voy isur, and the prohibition lidraish, to go and seek mikusomim ma'eninim menachshim umagide asidois, all of those that tell fortunes, that read palms of hands, and so forth and so on. Bechein isi ishtamshis b'kabola maisis bizmanenu, and also the prohibition for one to do practices of Kabbalah in our times that is not brought in the Shulchan Aruch. And he wrote a whole sefer on this. And in the beginning of the sefer, actually he what is the sefer written on this subject? He says, in our times, Nisrabe Bismana Achrei, in Eretz Yisrael, as Binisrabe, has increased recently. All different types of people coming. And amongst them are those that call themselves Rabbonim or Chachomim. And to them come people who are sick, or who do not have children, or who have problems with Panoso,
or whatever it might be, and these people tell them what to do, how to solve their problems, but they do not give them advice in a worldly manner. It's in a supernatural manner, and they do all kind of things. They make a gerul, they throw lots, or they look at their palms and they read their palms of their hands, or they're at the astrology, or they interpret their names or their birth dates. And from here they can tell them everything. They write for them cameos. They give them charms and skulas and psukim and shemais, names of Hashem, and oaths, and so forth and so on.
Mutaros, are you allowed to or not? This is what he bases the Sefer on.
In the beginning of the Sefer, he has here a letter from Reb Lazer Shach Shlita, one of his Rosh Yeshiva. So he writes to him, Reb Lazer Shach writes to him, he says, Binyan Mashin is Pashit Eitzel Harbe Anoshim Shedoshim Al Inyonim Inyonam Eitzel Anoshim Ametamrim Ladas Es Hasidus Mashi Korelai. People that go today, that's happening often, and they go to, he calls them frauds. To these people that claim they can help them in supernatural ways, have a idea. He says, you shall know. Shekol elu hem ramoim ve'ame oretz. He says, all of these so-called people, they're crooks and they're ignoramuses. U'bishvil betza kesev esim gein. And they're doing this only to make money. Benesnim kameis, and they give kameis. The kameis were the, how do you call that in English? Amulets. And they give different types of counsel. Ve'osa lismeich aleihem. You're not allowed to rely on them at all, because ain lem shum yadiyah be'elo inyonim. He says, even if it was true, you're not. But this is not even true. They don't know what's happening. Ve'ein oi lonu shekach olsa yerir bizmaninu. He says, oi to us. How tragic it is to us that this is happening. We have sunk so low that this has become a problem today. That every foreign belief becomes a whole asek now by Jews. Our job is to do mitzvahs and to believe Hashem, and don't worry about anything else. As it states, Tomim tiyem Hashem elakecho, v'Hashem yechaper over, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should forgive us for this. Then he brings here, he says, there was a certain person who once learned in Ponovich, and he learned palm reading by experts. These type of people, you know, call themselves Rabbonim or Chachamim or whatever they might be, and he read his palms. And he says he sees from his palms that he's going to have a misfortune in marriage. And now he's reached the age where he should be looking for a shiduchim. And he went to others to verify it. And they said, yes, he'll have misfortune in his marriage. And he says he hasn't been able to sleep. He hasn't been able to eat. He's gone into depression over this. What should he do? So he wrote a letter to Rav Shach. So they have the answer of Rav Shach. He says, "Hinani aimer lachob beheklet." He says, "I am telling you with full confidence." She says, "Isa gomeli sasipo." That there's a full prohibition to have anything to do with this, and osalish mechalze, and do not rely on it. And it's explicit in the Torah. He brings our pasuk Tomim tiabim Hashem elakecho, and he says, "Look in the Ramban and in the Sefer Mitzvahs and so forth." Ve'ein lano ela lifteach b'Hashem v'zulus sehakol hevel. We have to believe in Torah and mitzvahs. If what you're doing is something wrong in accordance to the Torah and mitzvahs, worry about it. If what you're doing is nothing wrong in accordance to Torah and mitzvahs, he says, then it's hevel. It's nonsense. He says, this that you saw, that in your palms, something's happening. He says, shebederech odem reitzel leilech malichin eisoy. We have a klal. If a person wants to go crooked, they allow him. If a person wants to see such things, go ahead. He'll see such things. But ein lochus lechol ma'ashori isu. I can tell you for certain,
don't worry. Then one final point. We have here, the author writes, he says that he knows that the stipler of, this was also Rav Shach today, is the Daily Hador, the Godel Hador, also was the stipler of Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Now the stipler of, this author writes to the stipler of son, Reb Chaim Knievsky. He says, I know through personal experience that your father, the stipler, was fire against all of these practices. He mentions a few. Telling of futures, charms, Hisamus Shemus, they compare names. Take a name, especially by a shidduch. You give the name of the chosin, the name of the kallah, and you give it to an expert, and he'll tell you whether they should go through with the chasna or not. Kriyas mezuzahs he brings. Evidently, there's a practice of reading mezuzahs. You give a mezuzah to someone, and he'll tell you what's wrong with you from there. It's so forth. He says, I know that the stipler was the stagib b'chol tekef. He was against this with all force. But today, after he died, unfortunately, we have another tragic machlo in our times. That when a godel dies, they start saying over things in his name that he never said when he was alive. He says, today they're saying over in the name of the stipler that he's for it. So I would like, please, he writes to the stipler's son, who's also a godel b'teira, please write me a letter telling me just how the stipler held, because I'm writing a sefer on this and I would like to incorporate it. See, he writes back two lines, the son. He says, Yodua li das Adoni Ovi Meiri Verebizel. He says, I know clearly what my father held. Shehirchik me'od kol hadvorim me'ele. That he distanced himself from all of these things. Begam hizral zeh kam apomim sheyesh bezeh chashash kam yisurim. And also he repeatedly said that someone who gets involved in these things could be getting involved in many prohibitions of the Torah. This is what he writes back. But now, he writes a story. He says, he writes a story, the author, of what happened with him and the stipler in this. He says, there was a chosin, who kove yem nesuin im raskilei. A chosin, man, boy got engaged to a girl, and they set the date of the wedding. And someone told him, before you get married, today is the practice. See, you got people saying everything. Today is the practice. Before you get married, you go to a chochem, and you send in your name and your kallah's name, and he will tell you what's going to happen with the wedding. So he says the bocher was a tonim. He didn't know. They told him, this is what you do today. Everybody, you take your orders from everyone. So he went. They told him who the best expert is, and he went. He went, and the man, who's called a chacham or a rov, studied the names. Uposak al ase levat lashidduch, and he says, "I paskin lahalocha that you must disengage this girl. Don't go through with the shidduch, because it will not be yaleyocha. It will not be a good shidduch." The chosin, all of a sudden, from a yom simchas liboy, from a day of rejoicing, he was projected and propelled into a day of avelus, of mourning. So he came to me, the author writes, he came to me with a letter. The person wrote down a whole letter and a whole reason and whatnot and so forth and so on. So I told him, don't worry, tear up the letter, throw it out, don't worry, and carry on. He was still mefakfek, but he didn't know. You know, he's got so many people telling him one way, and I'm telling him a different way, he writes. He didn't know. So he says, I'll tell you what. He says, let's take the letter, and we'll go to the Stiplerov, and let's see what he says. And will you do what he tells you? He says, Stiplerov tells me, I'll do whatever he says. All right, so they went to the Rav HaGodl, the Stipler. He says, it's like going to the Sanhedrin. They went, he went, with another Talmud Chochem. They came into the stipler's room with this letter. They gave it over to the stipler. When he started to read it, since he became so angry, was Shei Ka'ari Merev Kasser. Now the stipler was known to be a tzaddik. Tzaddik. They used to call him not only Gonador, the tzaddikador they called him.
A tzaddik doesn't become angry. He became so angry, he started shouting like a lion. And he couldn't believe it. And vizbatu b'lishenis koshim, and he used very strong language against this meisen or eitzah, against the one who had counseled him on this. And he says, ma'reitze shalei ischatnu, is it true he's telling you to mirvatu b'shittich, not to get married? And the more he read, the more angry he got, and it became such a tumult that his family came running into the room and they ordered us out. They said, you're upsetting the stipler so much. He was an old man and a sick man. They ordered us to go out of the room. They said, you go out and stay outside, let him calm down. Alright, they went outside and they could see from the window, and they see he finished reading the letter, and they saw that he had to put the letter on the side and sit down. He was trembling with rage to sit down and calm himself down, and he took a long time just to calm himself down. Then, when he was calmed down, he called them back in. He called over the chosen, and he gave him a brocha. B'yivtichu, and he says, I promise you, she'atzliach b'zivugei, you'll have a good marriage. He says, don't listen to this. This is hevel havelim. It's nonsense. Everything else. Leimei Hashem. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who makes shiduchim. He says, not the one who gave you this eitzah. You don't have to look for anywhere else. He says, you look to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ein lonu lishoin elo alavinu shebishomayim. Betomim tiyem Hashem elakecho. We just have Hashem to rely on. And he got married. And then he writes a footnote. He says, the man's happily married and he has a good family. But that's on the side. This is what he writes on from the stipler. Therefore, now, sometimes people will tell you, but there are some practices that are acceptable, or some that are kosher. Again, I told you we don't have time to go into all of the details, but one should know that if you're going to eat an apple, you don't need a heksher from a Beis Din on an apple, because the normal apple's kosher. If you can eat chicken or meat, then you need a heksher on it, because a regular animal, the Gemara says, is not kosher, because he dies, he's not kosher, he needs a shkita. This is the same thing here. Anyone who wants to get involved in some of these practices, he should know that the norm is that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says is a te'eva. Even though there might be certain ones that are acceptable, then they need a good heksher. Get a good heksher from a Beis Din. This gives us a little insight into this parsha, which we have in Parsha Shaftim, Tomim Tia Im Hashem Elokecho, that you should be trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His fullness.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yjj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.